rather entitled. I don't know what's wrong with my tongue this morning. Probably is age, yes. Entitled Assurance Because of the Promise. Assurance because of the promise. There's another song that we sing from time to time entitled Blessed Assurance. And one of the verses says, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, for a foretaste of glory divine. Herald salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. Those are some marvelous words. And the two words that stand out in this song are blessed and assurance. Blessed means enjoying great happiness, bringing comfort or joy. And assurance means something said or done to inspire confidence as a promise or a guarantee. So the song then, titled, suggests to us that great happiness, comfort, or joy is associated with our assurance because something has been done for us by God to inspire confidence because of the promises that we have in Christ. One of the greatest things that a faithful Christian enjoys is the presence of God in his or her life and the crown of life that awaits them at the judgment. I believe that God wants his children to live a life of confidence, not one of uncertainty or one of doubt, even though we live in uncertain times. A life of confidence makes for a much more peaceful life than having to be fearful and uncertain of the future. God has promised salvation to those who will obey him and patiently endure until the end. Listen again to verse 11 and 12 of what Brother Darrell read from the King James Version in Hebrews chapter 6. The Bible says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope. How long? Until the end. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So, brothers and sisters, this morning, we can be sure that God's promises will come to pass. Assurance because of the promise. What is the basis for our assurance? Or what is the reason that we can give or that we have that we can be so certain that the promise will be realized? Well, first of all, we can be sure because it was God who promised it. And he promised it, the Bible says, before the world began. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2, the Bible says, in hope of what eternal life which God that cannot lie. What did he do? He promised before the world began. God promised eternal life. And that's why we can be so sure. That's why we can have hope, because God promised eternal life. And when he made that promise, we can be so certain of it because he cannot lie. It is impossible, as the Bible would say in Hebrews chapter 6, further down in verse number 18, that it's impossible for God to lie. The Bible says again that in that verse, in verse number 18, the Bible says that by two immutable things. The word immutable means that it can't be changed. It's certain. It's set. So when he says it, we can take it to the bank. We know we'll get a return. We don't have to worry about the stock market crashing on that promise. God is going to make it good. It's impossible, the Bible says, for him to lie. It is against God's nature to lie. Because the Bible says again in verse number 2 of Titus chapter 1 that he cannot. And the reason he cannot is because it's against the nature of God to lie. Aren't you glad that God is not like us? Sometimes we don't always do the right thing and say the right thing. But God is not like that. It's against his nature to lie. So God promised it. So again, we can be assured that the promise will happen. I'm talking about what's the basis. Another reason why we can be so sure of this promise is because God has not appointed us to receive his wrath. God doesn't want us to suffer his wrath. Aren't you glad? Again, that God is not like us. Sometimes we may get contrary and say, I wish that the house would fall down on you. That's not the nature of God. God has not appointed us unto wrath, the Bible says in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Listen to what the scripture says. The Bible says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Why? For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that God doesn't want to pour out his wrath upon us. He's a good God. He's a loving God. So much so until he wants everybody to be saved. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Well, this is good, the Bible says, and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God is a good God. Doesn't want anybody to be lost. Want all men to be saved. And as we talk about evangelism, we need to be working with God so that God can accomplish what he wants to accomplish in this world. We need to work with God to help folks see the light. Because the gospel is in earthen vessels. God is not teaching anybody individually now. He has left that job up to his faithful followers. And we need to work with God so that as many as possible, so that all these eight that has requested a Bible study, that we be diligent in making sure that they receive this Bible study, and that their eyes will be open to the truth, and that their hearts will receive it with meekness and be baptized. Now, they all may not obey, but let's make sure that they don't obey because we don't follow up on it. It's our responsibility, and God is holding us responsible now to follow up on these 8 and to follow up with these 17 that has requested Bible corresponding courses. Let it not be said that we don't do our job, because God wants all men to be saved. He's a long-suffering God, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. And we can be sure, because he's faithful, that promise we're talking about. What are we talking about? Assurance because of the promise. He is faithful because he promised it. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 and 23. Listen to what the Hebrew writer says. He said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So when he promised salvation, he is faithful to deliver salvation to all them that obey him. We can have assurance for the promise because God is a faithful God. He's so faithful until he will not go back on his word, and neither will he change his mind. Again, he's not like us. Sometimes we'll go back on our word. Sometimes we'll change our mind. Oh, I didn't really mean that. God is faithful. Thank God that we serve a faithful God. And this faithful God made provision for this assurance of the promise. And he did that when he gave us his son. He gave Jesus to go to yonder's cross and to shed his blood on the cross of Calvary so that we could be washed, so that we could be cleaned up from the iniquity of our sins. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 5, and also verse number 6. The Bible says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from his own sins, or rather from his own, in his own blood. Washed us, the Bible says, from our sins in his own blood. And he went on, and the Bible says in verse number 6, and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Aren't you glad to know this morning that if you have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you've been washed from your sins, that you are a king and that you are a priest, that you are now bringing glory to God. And because we've been washed, then we have been forgiven of our sins, and we have been redeemed. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. God is a gracious God. We didn't deserve to have our sins removed. But because he's such a gracious God, until he gave us his son to clean us up. Thank God for the provision that he made for this assurance that we have of the promise of salvation. And because we have been washed and because we have been cleaned up, then we have also been sanctified. We've been set apart for God's use. God made that provision through Jesus Christ. The only way you and I can do the bidding that God has for us to do and to live like God wants us to live is because he made provision for that. That provision came through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, Verse number 9 and 10, then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once and for all. And so when Christ hung on that cross, he shed his blood. And because of that, all obedient children of God can now be sanctified, set apart, in order to do the will of God. Thank God, then, for the provision that he's made. And because he made that provision, you remember that we shared in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 6 that talked about he has made us now kings and priests. We don't have to go through anybody but the high priest, which is Jesus Christ, because all of those and all of us who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are individual priests, and we can go to God through Christ for ourselves. And so now we can enter into the Holy of Holies through Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the provision that he has made for us through Christ Jesus, whereby now we can have the assurance, or we can be assured of the promise that he's made. If he had never given Christ, even though he promised it before the world began, if he hadn't given Christ, we could never be assured that that promise would be realized. But you see, God had this thing already figured out. What he was going to do, how he was going to do it. Thank God for his infinite wisdom. All of this then is only possible in Christ Jesus. That's why everybody needs to be in Christ Jesus. Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3, Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where are they? In Christ. They are in Christ Jesus. Every spiritual blessing that the Lord has for us can only be found in Christ. So if you're not in Christ, you are excluding yourself from the spiritual blessings that can only be found there. So everybody ought to be in Christ. And not only be in Christ, but stay in Christ. Because it's possible for one to get out of Christ if we stand before him on the judgment day. As a matter of fact, even before we stand before him, he's going to get us out of it. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, down in about verse number 41, I believe it is, that he's going to send his angels back and take out of the kingdom, that's the church, that's the body of Christ, take out of the kingdom all that offend and do iniquity. He can't take them out unless they're in there. So I'm saying to us this morning, be in Christ, yes, but make sure you be obedient to Christ so you won't get snatched out when he comes back. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. We need to be in Christ to receive those spiritual blessings. And the only way to get into Christ is to be baptized into him after receiving, of course, the right teaching that will give you the right baptism. Any baptism won't get you there. It's got to be the right one. After receiving the right teaching, then one can be baptized right. In Acts chapter 19, you find 12 people that had been baptized, but they had the wrong baptism. And so they had to be baptized again. And once they were baptized again, then they got in the right place. So the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 26, For you are all the children of God by faith, where? In Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. I'm talking about assurance because of the promise. In order to be assured that you're going to receive the promise of eternal life, you got to be where eternal life is. And eternal life is in Christ. So as a result then of one being in Christ, well, as long as one walks according to the will of God, he or she don't have to worry about being condemned. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 1. And so, as we talk about this thing of assurance because of the promise, and we notice, as I gave the definition of assurance, I used the word there, the definition of the word of assurance there has something that talks about confidence. Confidence. Being sure. Real sure. Sure enough sure. No doubt about it, sure. Can't miss it, sure. That's the kind of confidence that you and I need to have. That is to receive salvation. So, my brothers and sisters, then, the assurance gives us confidence. We can know that we're saved. We don't have to go through life hoping, you know, with that doubtful hope. Thank you, my brother. With that doubtful hope that, well, I hope I'm saved. We can be assured. We can know that we're saved. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, in verse number 11, listen to what John was inspired to write. John said this, and this is the record that God has given to us what? Eternal life. Aren't you glad God gave us eternal life? And this is the life that is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has what? Not life. And then John says this. These things, he says, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may what?
Know.
That you just may, well, I hope so. That you may know. You can be assured. You can have the confidence that you have what? Eternal life. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. John says we can know. God says, I'm fixing this thing so you can know. You don't have to guess about it. You can know. And the way you can know is that if you believe on the Son of God, and of course, you are doing the will of God, you can know that you got eternal life. I don't know any way we can be more assured than that way. And when we are in the Son and in the Christ and in the body, we are in the place of safety. I liken being into Christ like those eight souls were in the ark. Y'all know that story. Once they got in that ark, they were saved from the destruction. What happened to everybody else that didn't get in there? They were destroyed. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 23 says that all that were not in the ark died. I want to say to us this morning, lovingly, but also encouraging you to make sure that you're in Christ, because that's where salvation is. Salvation or safety was in the ark. Everybody that wasn't in the ark perished. Salvation is in Christ, in the body, in the church, the one church that you can read about in the New Testament. All that are not in it don't have salvation. I encourage you to be in Christ, to be in his church, and to remain in his church. You know, Paul was on his way to Rome to be tried. 276 souls or 76 people were on a ship. And a storm came up. This is in Acts chapter 27. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 27, in verse number 31, that everybody on the ship, they were ready to abandon it. The Bible says, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except you do what? Except you stay in this ship. What's going to happen? You cannot be saved. The Bible is teaching us unless we stay in the church and stay faithful to the Lord, we're not going to be saved. So I'm saying to us this morning, if you're in the church, stay there. If you're not in it, get in it and stay there, faithful to the Lord. Otherwise, we won't be saved. Remember, God doesn't want anybody to be lost. But I've said this many a times. Others have said it. Perhaps you've said it. God is not going to force anybody to be saved. We got to want to be saved. That's why that word diligence is in the scripture that Dara read this morning. Be diligent. Work at it. Do all that we can to obey the Lord's will. It's not going to be we're in the church and so we're going to just ease right in. No, we got to do what God says. We got to do the will of God if we want to be saved. So stay in the church. Stay faithful to the Lord, because he saves those that obey him. And the Bible says this concerning those who will obey him. Jesus says, John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, if I would ask for a show of hands this morning, how many of us in here love the Lord? I'm sure everybody's hand would go up. But I'm not going to ask you to do that. Maybe I would. No, I'm not going to ask you. But I feel certain that everybody's hand, that is, you know, I know a little baby, you know, don't understand what I'm talking about. But everybody in here who understands what I'm talking about, if I said, everybody who loved the Lord, raise your hand. I'm sure everybody's hand would go up. But that's not the test of love in the Lord, simply because I raise my hand and you raise your hand. The test of love in the Lord is obeying him. That's why he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And John 14 and verse 23 says, he that loveth me keepeth my sayings. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. Jesus said, the test of whether you love me or whether you don't love me, if you love me, he said, you're going to do what I say. If you don't love me, you're not going to do what I say. And let me push that just a little bit further. Sometimes we can do what the Lord say, but we don't do it like he say do it. You see, there's a difference in doing what he says and doing what he says like he say do it. We can observe the Lord's Supper, and we're going to do that in a little while. But unless we observe it the way he says observe it, it's all for nothing. We have not obeyed him. So make sure our hearts are right, that we are doing what the Lord say, like the Lord say do it. So Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And when we do that, we are following Jesus' example. Didn't Jesus obey his father? That's what he said about himself. And he's God. You know, and God, we just talked about God can't lie. Jesus is God also. He's God the Son. Jesus said this in John 8, 29. He said, the Father that sent me has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Now, can we say we're following Jesus if we're not going to do what God says? Now, I know that Jesus didn't sin because he couldn't sin. He was God. He couldn't sin. He was tempted, but he couldn't sin because he's God. God can't sin. We can sin. So I'm saying that we may not always, no, I shouldn't say may, we don't always do what the Lord says. But we can do the best we can, and when we find out we haven't done it, what we talk about this morning, Brother Montgomery, get it right and go back to God. In other words, repent of our sins. So to follow Jesus' example is to obey the Lord. And when we obey the Lord, we know that his blood will take care of us. And he will not forget our labor of love. That assurance that we're talking about this morning will be with us until the end, because he will not forget our labor of love. And the Lord won't forget, because the Lord has a book of remembrance. And I don't believe he has a book of remembrance because he can't remember. But I think that there's a scripture in the Bible that is there to help the people from a human standpoint to understand that God won't forget. There's a verse in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16 that says this. The Bible says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." So the folks would know from the human perspective that God will not forget. God will remember whether we obeyed him or whether we didn't obey him. And when we stand before him in the judgment, all of these things are going to come up. And we'll either hear him say, "Well done," or "Depart from me." What do you want to hear? I know what you want to hear. Well done. So as I close in this morning, we ought to be so thankful to God for the promise of salvation. Let us then remain faithful to our God so that we will not miss out on getting what God has promised us. The Bible says this clearly in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Let us therefore." He had just talked about in Hebrews chapter 3 of those people coming through the wilderness and how they stopped following God and was no longer faithful to God. And you know the story how God destroyed all of them that came out of Egypt that were over 20 years of age. Every one of them except two that was over 20 years of age. And that was Caleb and Joshua. They were the only two that was over 20 years of age that came out of Egypt that made it to the promised land. And the reason why they didn't make it there was because they stopped being faithful to the Lord. So the Hebrew writer says to these Hebrews that was ready to give up on the Lord, "Let us therefore fear, lest a what? A promise." What are we talking about this morning? We're talking about assurance because of the promise. So he said, "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise," he says, "be left us of entering into his rest." Don't we want to enter into his rest? The promise is there that one day we're going to rest from our labor. But it's dependent upon your being faithful and my being faithful as to whether we'll rest from our labor. So he said, "Let us fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. Any of you should do what? Should do what seem to come short of it." In other words, if you don't continue to fear and be faithful, we're going to miss the promise. We're going to miss the rest. But there is a rest, the Bible says, that remaineth for the people of God. The rest is there. But whether we get it or not is dependent upon whether we're faithful. Assurance because of the promise. I'm thankful that God has made it so that we don't have to go through life wondering, not really knowing for sure whether we're going to make it or not. God has made it so that we can know. We can live a life of confidence. I hope you're here tonight. God's will, we're going to talk about how we can really live a joyful life because we have this promise. But all of the struggles and all of the stuff that goes on in the world today, sometimes it just gets our head spinning. But in spite of everything that's going on, because there's a promise, we can still rejoice. So I hope you're here tonight when we talk about the secret to a joyful life. God wants us to be joyful. As a matter of fact, he commands us to be joyful. You need to be here tonight to worship God and then to hear those words of encouragement. But in the meantime, if you're here this morning, and maybe you really don't know because you're not sure, or maybe you're here this morning who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and so you know that you are not ready for the judgment, I want to encourage you to obey the Lord. Become a member of the church that you can read about in the New Testament. It's the church of Christ. He only has one. Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is his body. Ephesians 1 and verse 22. And he has only one body, Ephesians 4 and verse 4. He wants everybody to be members of the same body, Ephesians 3 and verse 6, because he's going to save the body, Ephesians 5 and verse 23. And the body of the kingdom is going to be delivered to God, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. If you're not in the body, when he delivers it to God, you won't make it back to God. You don't want to miss going back to God. You want that rest. So you need to be in the body of Christ. How do you become a member of the body of Christ or the church? You hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15, 7. You repent of your past sins, Luke 13, 3. You confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10. You go down in a watery grave of baptism and be immersed or covered up for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church, Acts 2 and verse 47. You remain faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10. Jesus said, I'll give you a crown of life.